Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see you here this morning. As has already been noted, we have a number of our church family missing today, but I'm assuming they're with their family, and that's a good thing. I want to say a special welcome to our guests that are here today. I see faces I haven't seen before, people I don't know. Thank you for being with us today. Thank you for seeking God with us today. We appreciate you being here, and we're very thankful for that. It's the holiday season. We enjoyed or survived Christmas, depending on how your perspective is on that. But we're here today. You know, gifts have been given. Cards have been exchanged. We've gathered together. Certainly now there's been those returns that we've all tried to do. But we've all been seeking to find the perfect gift, seeking the opportunity just to spend time with family, seeking just a break from the workaday world. A lot of seeking going on as we get through the holiday. Lots of opportunities to share and to come together. And lots of opportunities to seek so many different things. And now we take a breath and we look towards the new year. And every year we look towards the new year. And we, as we have just a few minutes ago, we thank God for getting us through another year. And I personally have so much to be thankful for. And we look towards another year. And we seek new things in the new year. Jobs. We seek clarity. We seek new relationships. Maybe we seek education or so many things that we seek and search for. But it's a time where we have lots of things going on in our lives. At the same time, we live in a world that is not just walking away, but is running away from God. We live in a nation that is denying its roots in Christianity. As we look around us, we have individuals and people who reject the very concept of deity, of God, of a supreme being. We have individuals who want nothing to do with the concept that we were created. No, I'd rather crawl out of the slime. But lots of things going on. You know, we have churches all over the country, and we have preachers preaching, come to this church. This is where you will find God. And sometimes we tend to church people to death. We bring them in, we put them in the pews, and then we entertain them. Some people are seeking that entertainment. Some people want to be beat with the Bible. But there are still people who seek something much deeper, something much more personal than that. And the question we need to ask ourselves is, as we come to church, what's the purpose?
Worship God.
There you go. Amen. We need to reconnect. You know, I don't want to put down people going to church because I think it's a wonderful thing. And I enjoy coming to church. I enjoy fellowshipping with my church family, with people who share the same Christian principles that I do. I am fed, I am blessed, I am ministered by that. But we have people who come to church for the social aspects of it. We have people who come to church because it's the thing to do. What I want to do is be surrounded and be in a church, in a community, in a fellowship that seeks the Christ, That is what I want. That is what I want more than anything. And that's what we're going to talk about for a little while this morning. What is it that we seek? Seeking is something that seems to be innate with human personality. We're always seeking something, aren't we? Education, advancement in our career, clarity in life. Why am I here? But we spend a lot of our lives, do we not, seeking, looking. We go around trying to find answers. We want to know what's going on. We want to gain knowledge. We want to have answers. And that's not a bad thing. But are we seeking things of temporary value, of our eternal value? And that's what I want to focus on today is, what are we seeking that is of eternal value to every one of us? We're going to use the story of the three wise men. And all of us have heard it. All of us have looked at it from various perspectives. And today I'm going to use that central theme. And I want us to look back in history and forward and see if from that there is something really meaningful that you and I can gain for our lives today. Wise men still seek him. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Yeah. Wise men and women still seek the Christ. There is something in us that wants to be reconnected. When we think of the story of these wise men, it's an amazing story. And there are so many lessons for us that we can apply in what we do today. Matthew 21, 1 and 2 says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born the King of Jews? We saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him. Now let's kind of take that and break it down. It says that Jesus is already born. These three wise men, these Magi, have come from the east to Jerusalem, and they're going around asking people, where is he who's born the King of the Jews? Were the Jews at that time looking for a Messiah? Absolutely they were. But they were looking for a warrior king, were they not? Someone to get rid of the Romans, to restore them to the peak of their society that they had under David and under Solomon. They weren't necessarily looking for someone in a manger. Now, if you were living in Jerusalem at this time, and these three foreign dignitaries show up, and they're going, where's the party? The king's been born. He's the ruler. Where's the party? And everybody's kind of looking at him going, man, you traveled a long ways and you're a little flaky. Okay? Where is the king? What's going on? There's a disconnect. Put yourself in the shoes of Herod. Now he's the king. Okay, he's a token king. He's a puppet king. He's not the brightest crayon in the box, but he's a king. And these guys from the east have come in and they're saying to him, we're here to worship the new king. Herod's got a bit of a problem. First of all, he should have known. But he's a little more concerned about his own crown and what's going on. And you're here to worship the new king. Me too. Me too. So you guys go find him. And when you find him, let me know. It's getting a little strange in the story here. They come out of nowhere. They come to Jerusalem. Nobody knows. And the king himself seems a little upset about this whole concept. So these three wise men, these three magi, who are they? Where do they come from? What's going on? We know the story that they came. We know that they go to the manger. But do we look at the backstory and do we try to understand? Man, there's more to this than that. Who were these guys? If you look back and you take the word magi, it's an old Persian Babylonian term, and it means wise men. These guys are from the old Persian Babylonian area, which we would now look at as Iran and Iraq. Hey, they've been on camels a long time, traveling through the desert to get to Jerusalem to worship a newborn king. Now, when it comes to seeking, these guys are sincere. This isn't a casual hunt. They didn't show up for the party. The Bible tells us they came to worship the newborn king. Strangers have come to worship. The people the king has come to take care of don't even know he's here and don't recognize it. There's a serious disconnect going on. But you and I need to focus on seeking. These guys were intent, serious, and committed to seeking the king. How did they know who they were looking for? Where did they get the information? These aren't locals. These are men from a long ways away. There's been no media, no press, no great thing going on locally. So what would bring three strangers on such a search, seeking a newborn king? I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star will come out of Jacob. A scepter will rise out of Israel. Out of Jacob shall come he that shall have dominion and shall destroy him that remaineth of the city. I got to tell you, if I'm Herod, this isn't good news. This is not good news. But these are guys from a completely foreign land. And this is the prophecy, among others, that have brought them to Jerusalem. How did it happen? What do we know about Persia and about Babylonia and about the children of Israel? Is there a connection there? Yeah, there's a connection there. It's almost 600 years old at this point. But we know that around 600 years before, the people of Jerusalem and Israel were taken captive and carried away to that land. And with them were the prophecies. And with them were sincere, committed, dedicated individuals who served their Lord. And one of the stories we know from that whole series of events is Daniel. We all have studied Daniel. We know his trials and tribulations, and that he stood firm, and in so doing, rose to be a leader, a prince in a foreign land. In this foreign land, you have sincere, committed Christians, following the Lord, seeking the Lord every day, refusing to submit to pagan practices, leaving a lasting impression, leaving documents, leaving their literature, leaving, in this case, the book of Numbers for them to read. And so we fast forward to Jerusalem, almost 600 years, and we find three men who have studied, who have explored, who have connected the dots over a long period of time and have come to the conclusion that there's a king being born in this foreign land called Israel, and he's going to rule the nations. We would like to meet this individual. We want not just to casually go up and at his inauguration say, "Hey, welcome aboard." They want to worship him. You and I in our lives, you and I when we make contact with people, we leave impressions. And we have no idea this side of heaven what that seed once planted will grow into. I hope you share with me an excitement when you get to heaven to see which people may come up and go, "Man, thank you for turning me on to Christ." And you're going to go, "Excuse me." We don't know. It's not our job to change their hearts. It's our job to plant the seed. It's our job to be Christ to other people. And as we do that, and it may take years, in this case 600, God's will be worked out. But we have to be faithful. We have to continue on. There will come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter will rise out of Israel. To the people of that time. Now, these men were not just commoners. They were astronomers. They were scientists. They studied the stars. And they had come across this prophecy that said a star will come out of Jacob. And a star arose, completely new, alien to all their charts and all of their knowledge. And through the Spirit, they started making a connection. This has got to be the star of Jacob. There will come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter will rise out of Israel. At that point in time, a king, and even today, for those few countries that still have kings or queens, the symbol of that royalty, the symbol of that king or queen, is the scepter. That is the physical evidence that you are the king or the queen. A scepter will rise out of Israel. These seekers, these three wise men, have made a long journey. They have studied for years, and now the star has rose, and they have made this journey. History and Scripture say wise men sought God in times past. It's very clear, very evident, is it not? Do you think wise men seek God today? Wise men do, sure. As a rule, as a country, as a nation, as a world, sadly, we can't say that. We would pray for it, we would long for it, we desire it more than anything, but that's not what's happening. But I want you now to kind of shift your focus, and we'll look right now at the present. Today's world, we spend billions of dollars, hundreds of thousands of hours, seeking seeking knowledge about where the world came from, how we came about, what's out there in the universe. We want to know. And so we explore, we seek. We seek knowledge about Mars. We seek knowledge about the moon. We seek knowledge about the distant stars to help us understand our own origins. And yet we completely ignore what's right in front of us. Our creation. And the glory that's going to be ours to share with our Lord. Wise men still seek Him. Those who are in the world without Christ can seek Him. When that search starts, God will provide a teacher. Do you believe that? If a heart begins a search for God, for Christ, Christ will provide a vehicle. He will provide a person. He will provide something to help that search. It may be a Bible that they pick up and read for themselves. Or it may be you. You may be the only Bible that a person ever reads. Do you ever think about that? The life you live, the words you share, the encouragement, the way you conduct your life. Please excuse my cough. I fought this for a week. You may be the only Bible a person ever sees. That's a pretty awesome responsibility, is it not? It's also an amazing opportunity, my friends. If we can touch a life, just one life, and let them see God in us, what an amazing thing has been done through us, not by us. Because if it's left to us, we'll always mess it up. But think about that. You may be the only Bible a person ever comes across. Which means we better pay a little better attention to how we conduct our lives, what we say. And those random encounters, my friends, so many of those random encounters are not random at all. God will bring into our lives opportunities for us to share Him with the world. Don't miss any opportunities. Don't pass on any of them. What about you and I? I've already found God. Why do I still need to seek Him? I got Him. I know Him. He's my best friend. Praise God for that. That's a good thing. But if you're already in a born-again relationship with Jesus, please continue to seek Him. We must not think that because we are already Christians, we know all there is to know about Jesus. Do you think you know everything there is to know about Jesus? I don't begin to. We must not think that we have the deepest and most personal relationship that exists. If we are to be wise and follow the example of the Magi, we must continually seek Him. Every time we get on our knees, every time we go into the Bible, there is some new revelation to be gained. There is some new picture of Christ to be shared with us. Our Christ is such an amazing, unfathomable Savior that we can spend eternity and still have beautiful, pleasant surprises in store. So we should still be seekers, just like those wise men. Do we have salvation? Yes, we have salvation. But do we know intimately every day, every hour, what God's will is in our life? If you don't, then spend more time with Him. Get closer to Him. Let Him be your guide. Friends, I need you to remember something. That moment when Christ stepped forth from the tomb, the war was won. God had won. But my friends, the battle is not over. You and I struggle every day, and we heard today from the testimonies and the prayer requests and the praises, we are still assaulted, we are still challenged, we are still beat by an enemy who wants to do what? Be our friend? He wants to destroy us. And he will take every opportunity to make our lives a living hell. But what I need you to remember and to seek is the Christ that has already defeated him. The Christ that never abandons us. The Christ that knows every trial, every tribulation, every sadness we have, and is right there beside us through it all. We should be seekers today like those wise men. We should be so committed. We should be so thankful. We should be so enthusiastic that we're out there in the world asking, why aren't you celebrating? God's coming. The wise men, they looked towards heaven. And they followed a star. That was their physical guide. You know, perhaps if we were to once again look towards the heavens, or as the Bible says, set your minds on things that are above, we too might rediscover that star. Remember, wise men still seek him. The Bible tells us in Revelation that the problem with the remnant church and the problem with the Laodicean church is what? We're lukewarm. We've lost our first love. We don't have the passion to seek the will of God, to seek Him intimately, personally, constantly. You know, I think we all realize when we put God first, all other things fall into their proper perspective. We're going into a new year. We look back and we go, wow, 2013 there was a challenge. But we have amazing opportunities in 2014. We have amazing opportunities to grow in our relationship, to grow on the path that God has set before us, and to tell a dying world, you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to see this as the end. There is something greater. There is something better. There is something so amazing, I can't even describe it. But we've got to be seekers. We've got to be passionate. We've got to share the good news of the gospel. I want you to have happy holidays, and I want you to have a blessed new year. I want all the good things in the world for you. But I want you to rejoice more than anything else. You know, we read in the Bible, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Brothers and sisters, get rid of the long faces. Christ is coming again. Christ has saved us. Christ will take us home. Rejoice! We have a God that keeps every promise. We have a God that is all powerful. We have a Jesus that has already won the battle. Look forward to the new year and rejoice in your trials, because God is honing you for eternity. Rejoice in your successes, because God loves you. Rejoice because you were found worthy for Him to hang on a cross and make heaven available for you. Look to the new year. You know, the Hubble telescope is an amazing piece of science and machinery. But when we look through the Hubble telescope at deep space, and particularly at Orion and some nebulas, what it sees through its infrared and other lenses is far more than you and I can see with our old, tired human eyes. But look to the heavens, my friends, because Christ is coming. And He's coming soon. And there's going to be a star that we see out there, and that star is going to grow and grow and grow. And just like those wise men, we're going to say, hallelujah, here He comes. Be excited, my friends. Acts 1:11 says this, "This Jesus, who is taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw Him go into heaven." He's not going to pop up in Buenos Aires, do a few miracles, and then bop over to London and do a few. No, not my God. Not my Jesus. My Jesus is going to come with the entire universe behind Him. My Jesus is going to come with millions upon millions of angels saying, praise God, praise His name. 1 Thessalonians 4:14 says, "For the Lord Himself will descend from the heaven with a cry of command, and with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God." My friends, there's not going to be any question. There's not going to be, who's this? The world, the universe will know. Now take notice of that with a cry of command. You know what that command's going to be? Rise up, those who have fallen. Join me, my faithful. For now, your reward is here. Don't let the new year come without you celebrating and rejoicing and seeking with renewed intensity God. Look beyond the new year to eternity and ask yourself every day, is God what you seek more than anything else? And every day that the answer is yes, my friends, you are a wise man or a wise woman to do that. There is no greater calling, there is no greater search than for the strongest possible relationship with a Jesus who died for every one of us. Bow your heads, please. Gracious Heavenly Father, we cannot begin to appreciate what is in store for us. And Lord, yes, we struggle now. Life sometimes overwhelms us. Challenges are more than we can bear. Our strength runs out. God, today and every day, my prayer is that we will draw close to you and realize your strength never runs out. You never get tired. And you are always right there beside us to help get us through. And that this is just temporary. The day will come, and Lord, we pray it'll come soon, when there are no more trials, there are no more tears, is no more pain, but there is a glory beyond our wildest imagination. Lord, may we seek you with a joyful intensity that no one can come in contact with us and not see and experience, is our prayer in that precious name of Jesus. Amen. It was not easy, let me tell you.
You don't have to take the coat off. I can just get it real easy right here. Just right here.
Thank you.